Join me for a hymn sing at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. This year's theme, Hymns of Comfort. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Isn't that the way of it? We walk along with the Lord for a bit, and then we stumble and fall. And then, by the grace of repentance and faith, back up on our feet we go, and we toddle along a bit further until we fall again. The goal, as for the toddler, is to increase the length of the walks and to decrease the frequency of the falls.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Amos.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last study recall, we heard God remind the Israelites that he'd sent them clean teeth. No, not meaning good dental hygiene, but referring to famine. Their teeth would be clean because they had nothing to put in their mouths, and still they didn't return to the one from whose word alone we live. He spoke of spotty rain and a search for water. Would they return now? No. So then blight and mildew and locusts. Will they return to Yahweh after that? No. He sends pestilence like in Egypt, the young men killed with the sword, the stink of defeat in their nostrils. Now? No. Some, he says, he overthrew like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the ones left were like a brand plucked out of the burning. Still, they did not repent. They didn't come back to the Lord. Very well, he seemed to say, if nothing else will turn you to me, death and judgment will. No one escapes the confrontation with Yahweh on that day. Prepare to come face to face with your Creator, Israel. A reading from Amos, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Fallen, no more to rise, is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land, with none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood, and cast down righteousness to the earth. Amos 5, verses 1 through 7. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to ponder more of God's word through Amos? Let's get to it. Verse 1. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. God invites the house of Israel to give their ear, their attention to this word that I take up over you in lamentation. Now, a lamentation is a mournful song, usually a dirge sung over the dead. Probably the most famous in the scriptures are the lamentation that David wrote at the death of his beloved Jonathan and King Saul. See 2 Samuel 1, verses 17 and following, and then written years after Amos, the entire book that bears the name Lamentations, attributed to Jeremiah, sung over the destruction of Jerusalem and the fall of the southern kingdom. So Yahweh here in this verse is basically telling the prosperous, self-satisfied northern kingdom, here, listen to my funeral song that I will sing over you. If in their own eyes they seem to be doing just fine, Yahweh, who sees right through to the heart, sees the north already as a kingdom that has passed away. Verse 2. Fallen, no more to rise, is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land, with none to raise her up. I have a pile of grandkids, and nearly always have someone who is a toddler. It's a blast watching them learn to walk, or maybe I should say, learning how to fall, and then get back up again and keep on going. That's very much the picture of life itself, and also, is it not, of our walk in the Lord. Isn't that the way of it? We walk along with the Lord for a bit, and then we stumble and fall. And then, by the grace of repentance and faith, back up on our feet we go, and we toddle along a bit further until we fall again. The goal, as for the toddler, is to increase the length of the walks and to decrease the frequency of the falls. This is what growth in the Christian faith is all about. Now, of course, moving from the spiritual walk back to the physical act of walking, there is that final fall, if you will. That's when our bodies fall to the ground, no longer having the life inside them to get back up and go again. The life in them is spent entirely. And that is how Yahweh here describes the virgin Israel. Virgin, by the way, cues you in that this is the bridegroom bemoaning the decease of his bride. Remember Hosea. And she is described here as lying dead, forsaken, abandoned, on her own land, that is, in the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, without a helper to raise her up. Remember, she continually had forsaken the only one who could raise her up from death. Verse 3, for thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. God had told Abraham in Genesis 17, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And what a crazy multiplication that was. Out of that one old man and his wife, God brought forth this mighty kingdom. But the one who invented multiplication, he also knows something about division and fractions. So because they refused to walk with Yahweh and be blameless, Yahweh describes a great diminishment. I think most likely the reference here originally was to the army itself. It went out 1,000 strong, but 900 perished and only 100 were left. And if they sent out the 100 again, only 10 will be left. I think of the hopeless battle before Minas Tirith in The Lord of the Rings, where the godly Faramir is sent out by his insane father to battle on against hopeless, absolutely hopeless odds. He didn't stand a chance as his army in the first defense fell back, and then in the second was reduced to a mere handful, and he was carried back to the city mortally wounded. Samaria will be, on that day, like Minas Tirith, but there's going to be no surprise rescue from any quarter. There's only one quarter where relief might still come. And so in his Song of Lament, Yahweh reminds them of what they are always overlooking. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile and Bethel shall come to nothing. In their terror, the temptation was to clutch tightly to their false worship, to the idols of Bethel, Gilgal, and Beersheba. Can you hear the words of Psalm 115 ringing in the background? Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not feel, feet, but they do not walk. and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. In contrast to the dead idols that human hands make, Yahweh pleads with the house of Israel, seek me and live. Live because he's the God of life, the God of creation, the God who made all that is, who sustains the life of all that is, and who has revealed his life-giving grace to one family on the face of the earth, the family of Abraham. They alone could really know him as he is, as he reveals himself to be, the God not of the dead, but of the living. Verse 6. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. The only alternative to seeking the Lord, to having Yahweh as your friend, your protector, your bridegroom, is to have him as your enemy. As Yahweh in the flesh said much later, Matthew 12, verse 30, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So here at the time of Amos, the warning sounds to the house of Joseph about the fire of the Lord. When that judgment falls, earthly help will be of no avail. It will devour, and none shall quench it. And those for whom that fire is destined are described as you who turn justice to wormwood, who make those who hope for justice be embittered, in other words, and cast down righteousness to the earth, who trample on the very notion that there is right and wrong and a judge who holds mankind accountable. And remember that just as this temporal judgment is a threat of fire, so too Scripture reveals it will be at the end of the age when we must all stand before the judge. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved in the earth, and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Or as St. Paul also warned, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So indeed, folks, now is the time to seek the Lord before the arrival of the day of the Lord. That's where we're going to call a stop for today, people loved by God. In the next section, Yahweh continues his lament, but he makes it clear that he who is the creator of the stars, the framer of alternating day and night, the giver of rain, he is the Lord. He is the one who makes destruction, the destruction that overwhelms the strong and their fortresses. Whom does his destruction hit? The one who hates correction, despises truth, tramples the poor, exacts taxes from the poor, builds luxurious homes, and devotes his life to wine and good times. That is, to those who are obsessed by the pleasures of this world and have no time for heeding God or his word or contemplating the greatness of their sins. In a time when folk like that are in the ascendancy, doesn't that sound familiar? The prudent know to just keep silent. It's an evil time indeed. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.